Friday, and we jump right in with the best discussions we can find. And this is not the most popular guy in Austin right now, but only because he tells the truth. It is time to talk to Brian Jones. Here we go.
The Friday Football Conversation with Brian Jones is brought to you by Spotash Mobile Haircuts. Cut your hair anytime, anywhere. Download the Spotash app from the Apple or Google Play stores and order today.
The man said he wished he was wrong. We've all had that feeling, what we think's going to happen versus what we want's going to happen. Brian Jones of CBS Sports joined us last week, and he predicted that Arkansas would win. He said they'd be more physical, and dadgummit, Brian, you were right.
Well, if Trey is Tammy Faye, I must be Jimmy Swagger. I have fans!
Brian, to quote the sophomore classic, Happy Gilmore, I'm stupid, you're smart, I was wrong, you were right, you're the best, I'm the worst, you're very good looking, I'm not really attractive. Good job by you for seeing the forest through the trees versus Louisiana, because pretty much everything that you were talking about last week played out on Saturday night in Fayetteville. Was there something that was most concerning to you, whether it was just how bad the offensive line was or the defensive line playing like Jamokes throughout most of that night as well? What was most concerning for you last Saturday?
Well, I witnessed, once I went through the game film, and speaking of the game film, I was attempting to send Chad some clips of my film study. Chad, what type of phone are you working with? Do you still have the flip phone? I know. I mean, it just said reject. I don't know what the hell you're dealing with over there.
How dare you?
But, Trey, I'll send them to you next time.
Thank you, BJ, and I already got a few of those from our mutual friend behind the scenes.
Oh, well, that's exactly what I wanted to share with Chad, so you know where I'm going.
That
it was
is so
more
boring.
Of the same. As it was more of the same that I witnessed in the victory versus Louisiana. And when you're watching a game from a television standpoint, that's one thing. Every now and then you'll get a replay, but they just don't have time to delve into the intricacies on every play. But when you sit there and you study every single play and you're watching every position, you get a whole nother perspective. And it was much of the same that I witnessed in the Louisiana game. That's why I predicted Arkansas, a much physical football team, although they've been ranked as one of the lower teams in the SEC West. Still, they, with the three upsets a season ago, another upset in which they were robbed there on the Plains versus Auburn, they know what it takes to play in that league. Texas now knows what it takes to play in that league, because I don't believe there's anyone remaining on that roster that went up against Georgia in that Sugar Bowl. And so we say this all the time, guys, you know, what do you get when you don't get what you want? You get experience. And that's exactly what they got. They have a better appreciation of what it takes to play at that league on a week-to-week basis. Because Arkansas is probably, what, fourth, fifth in the West, if that. And, yeah. And so for them to whip up on you like that, if this doesn't help you, nothing will. Because there were some very glaring, some extremely problematic issues watching that film. Defensively, not physical enough, as the clips I shared with you, displays. But I think the guys are thinking too much. They don't have a grasp of what is being asked of them on the defensive side of the ball. And I understand this is their third defensive coordinator in the last 3 years. I get it. But there was one play, and I didn't share this with you. They had two men. So you got two deep safeties. You're playing man underneath. You get trips to the field. And the backer, Overshawn, and the, what's his name?
Brockermeyer.
They've got the tight end and the remaining back. It's 11 personnel. And these guys both take the damn tight end, and they take him late. And he's open, and the back's open. So you take your pick who you want to throw it to, but they're thinking so much that they're not able to communicate with each other, because it's a simple banjo call. Whoever comes inside, you got him. Whoever goes outside, I got it. It's simple, bland football. But that tells me that they don't have a good understanding, a good grasp of what's being asked for them right now. So you really just can't fly around when you're out there thinking too much. So I'll give them a little cover with that. But from a physical aspect, there's no rhyme or reason why you can't go out there and want to hit someone. Those clips I showed you guys of those Penn State guys, man, I don't even know how to explain how I was about to come out of my seat breaking down that film as they get ready for a tough one versus Auburn, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. But that's how you play football. You got to have a nose for the ball. You got to hit who's in front of you or whoever ends up in front of you. And we're not doing that. Texas is not doing that. All this stepping on the defensive line. Okay, you don't step. Make sure your ass steps into the guy. First, you got to initiate that contact. They're not doing that. They're not playing violent football. And the SEC and big boy football is unapologetically violent. That's how I describe it. And that's how it's played. And I had to learn the hard way. I've been on the wrong side of those beatdowns. And you learn from it, and that's how Texas has to play. So once they get a better grasp of this defense, fine. But the physical aspect should always be there. If you don't go, if you don't take the wrong gap, make sure you're doing it 100 miles an hour. You've heard coaches say that from peewee ball. Make sure you're going full board. So I can't justify these guys not being physical. That's what really, really bothers me. You're going to make mistakes. Hell, Penn State had 97 plays versus Wisconsin their first ball game. And they had some mistakes in there because those other cats have scholarship players too. They're going to get some. But Penn State was able to bow their neck on the goal line. When you're on that goal line, you got to act as though you're on the edge of a cliff. So ain't no going backwards. And I see other teams. We've talked about Georgia. We talked about Clemson. We've discussed, you know, Penn State and others, man. And you look at that and how physical they are. That's the best. You have to have that. If you don't have that, you have nothing. It has to start there, and it has to start in the trenches. And offensive line, defensive line, oh, my goodness. That number 70. Jones, he can change his last name, dude. He's giving all of us a bad name. I was like, I ain't trying to keep up with that, Joe. And I don't want to pick on the young man. I don't want to pick on him because I have played some bad football before in my life. But, whew, that was rough. I hope somebody gave him a hug Sunday night or Sunday after that game because he needed one, man. And he'll get better. He'll learn from that. I know we're joking.
Oh,
but,
man.
You know, he'll learn from that, hopefully. And all of them will learn from that because – It's tough as it is, that's part of it. It hurts right now for the Longhorn faith. Everyone's asking me, are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine, man. I won't be fine if this is still occurring, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 games down the line. But right now, it's similar to that tequila I'd be drinking. You know, it's not so bad once it burns the nerve in me. And so, you just gotta hunker down and take it.
Talking with Brian Jones, CBS Sports. All right, Brian, now that you got through the blocking and the tackling and the physicality part of it, let's talk about the guy your Longhorns are snapping the ball to. Did you think a quarterback move needed to be made sooner in the game, and what do you think about Casey starting against Rice?
Well, there's no doubt that, Hurd, he's out of sync with his guy, especially on the deep ball. And he was a little tentative, and he is not he doesn't have that urgency to take off as Casey Thompson showcased. Now, here's the other deal, though. Casey was in there against the, third and, well, I shouldn't say third, but at least, some second stringers. He was in there against the same cats that Hudson was having to face. Yeah. But apparently there's a different energy from the people I've spoken with this week when Casey's in there. So we're going to get to see that. And yes, Rice, but still it's football and hopefully that energy and a more focused unit will go out and show better than they did last week. This is what bothered me about the rhetoric following the game, because there were some folks who know a hell of a lot about football were saying, well, we were outcoached. I've seen those same plays run by Alabama and they beat the brakes off of Arkansas. So Texas wasn't outcoached. Texas just doesn't have the Jimmys and the Joes that Alabama has, that Oklahoma has, and others possess. That's what happened, because I've seen those same plays where they hit the deep balls. I've seen it where a quarterback is in sync with his wide receivers. A quarterback is not skittish. So that's just ridiculous. I think that's a ludicrous take. They weren't out-coached. We'll see what happens with the quarterback position, and it's fine. This is part of this process. They've got to figure out who the guys. Casey Thompson couldn't play defense. Hell, yeah, he may have saved some drives. And, he uses his wheels a lot more, not afraid to take off and run. But he couldn't play defense, so there was no way Texas was going to win that ball game unless they had scored touchdowns on every drive. Mm.
The frustrating thing with the coaching on offense, BJ, is apparently at halftime, Hudson Carr was still being told to keep his eyes up and keep looking downfield and try and keep plays alive to throw the football versus looking for those opportunities to run. If that's what's being said, then the guys who are diagnosing the changes that need to be made for the second half, well, they're failing right there. Defensively, though, I think it was a matter of out-coaching, too, because not only were guys not being aggressive to the point of attack, which I completely agree with, so that's an execution problem, at some point, Kwiatkowski needed to realize that he needed to go with some odd boxes, get extra guys in there and really dare Arkansas's quarterback, KJ Jefferson, who's not great throwing the football downfield, to try a few more intermediate and deep routes.
Well, I saw odd boxes and I saw man defenses. So when you're playing man, that means you're putting extra guys in the box. And even when they did that, you had defensive linemen being driven back 3, 4, 5 yards, which were problematic for the backers when they were attempting to scrape. You had linebackers not playing over the top. You had linebackers not striking would-be blockers and shedding them, as we discussed last week, heading into this ball game. So if you're playing man, that means we want to focus more attention on their run game, but yet they still couldn't stop them. As far as what directive you're giving as a player, you're out there. Okay, you want me to do this? Well, the situation didn't grant me the opportunity to play it ideally how you just described it, Coach. So you have a feel of the game. You go out there and you utilize your athleticism. That's on you. You're the one in the line of fire. They can draw it up all pretty and nice, but hell, you got to make adjustments on the fly as a player. And he has the ability to do that, and he has the authority to do that because he's the one facing the live bullet. So, once again, you watch Casey Thompson, when he got in, he's like, ain't nothing downfield. Bye. I'm gone. you just have to have a feel for it, and then you employ your athleticism. So Casey did that. And so I wouldn't tell any football player, hey, man, I want you to go out there, I want you to be a robot, and I want you to play this to the letter. You know, you have to, what you should be taught is take care of your assignment and then go be a football player. That's what we were taught as defensive guys. It's not enough to say, Coach, I took care of my assignment. Okay, you got your gap, but the ball is over there in that gap. So you take care of what you're supposed to do as it's drawn up, but then you go find the damn ball. Offensively, the same thing. If it's not there, there's a reason we recruited you, because you're a hell of an athlete as well, not just a passer. You're not just a quarterback. Go showcase your ability to run the rock.
All right, Brian, let's get two quick picks from you before we're done. The Iron Bowl teams are on the road this week. Bama at Florida, the big CBS 230 game, obviously, you guys are going to be dealing with. Can Florida keep this close like they did at the SEC title game?
Man, something is telling me that they can.
Oh.
But they flipped the script. They've gone from the number one passing team in the nation to the number one rushing team in the nation. It's primarily through these two quarterbacks, Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson. And Richardson is outpacing Jones, and he has about 30 to 40-some possessions or plays, and where Emory Jones has 100-and-something plays. And Emory Jones, man, he's late. I just watching their game film from last week versus USF. He had two picks, should have had at least two others that they dropped. So his passing is not where it needs to be right now. I want to think they can, but I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. They're without Ventrell Miller. Aggie fans remember Ventrell Miller, their linebacker, because Isaiah Spiller ran all through him last year in that big fourth down run in the upset there in College Station. So I think Bama will roll again, even though they're banged up on the defensive side with Allen out and Anderson's now banged up. Their other defensive stud at outside linebacker. So, no, they may, you know, I may keep it close for a little bit, but I'm going to say no.
No, I think you're right.
One of the other big ranked matchups this weekend, Brian, is a game that you mentioned in that excellent first answer, those linebackers for Penn State getting to the point of attack. They're 5-point favorites with Auburn coming into Happy Valley. What do you think happens in that one?
Well, I think this is going to be a close ball game. This one may mirror what we saw in the first ball game for Penn State versus Wisconsin on the road. What was that, 16-10 was the final score? But it's going to hinge on Bo Nix. Bo Nix is under new management. He's got his third OC in the last 3 years, and Mike Bobo. And everyone said, oh, he's looked great. Okay. Who was that against? Akron and Alabama State. Now he's going up to Happy Valley. It's going to be white out at night. It's going to be jumping. And this defense, man, those two clips I shared with you, Trey, that's just a microcosm of what they do. They got about 5 or 6 guys, defensive end backers, that are interchangeable. And they've got a safety number one, Brisker, I believe is his last name. He comes downhill bringing the funk. But Tank Bigsby, he's like that Bijan Robinson. If there's anybody on that Texas roster that's ready for the SEC, it's Bijan Robinson. That kid is a beast, and Tank Bigsby is the same. He proved that last year as a true freshman. So it should be interesting to watch Bigsby and their big offensive line go up against this front seven of Penn State. I'm going to go with Penn State in the ball game because I just can't trust Bo Nix. The numbers say that he can't get it done on the road. He's a lot worse as a quarterback, statistically speaking, on the road than he is at home.
BJ, real quick, it was discouraging enough seeing the highlights of those Texas linebackers playing so passively and having no idea what the bleep they were supposed to be doing. But when you added the Penn State linebackers to the overall viewing experience, it was that much more discouraging. I went from a guy believing that this Texas team could win 9 or 10 games now to being like, I don't know, 8 feels really good at this point. Can we get above 500 this year? I'm not sure anymore.
What are you trying to do, Brian? Listen, you trying to depress my guy here? What are you doing?
Well, it was depressing to me, too. And I got a warm feeling down my leg watching them Penn State guys. Man, that number 13, Alex Brooks. Whew. I mean, they look for it. That 46, 40, 13, 12, 1. Those cats are looking for it. They play fast, but not in a hurry. And that's what you want.
And that was against a really physical Wisconsin team, too.
Exactly. Those big old horses. And Aaron Taylor and I got into this on the show the other night because AT said, well, you know, I like those Penn State players. They're a little undersized going up against this big Auburn offensive line. They were, well, AT, did you see that big old Wisconsin line? I mean, those cats average about 6'6", 330, 340. So it's going to be an interesting ball game. But that's where they need to get to, Trey. That's part of the process. You got to get some guys in there that don't have an aversion to contact. Why play linebacker if you're not going to hit anybody? Where else can you hit somebody in the mouth and not go to jail? A football field. I mean, damn, take advantage of that.
Oh, man. That's so great.
All right, Brian, here's what we're going to do. You keep sending the stuff. I'm going to, like, tweak up the coat hanger and the aluminum foil. and I'm going to tell Betty that shares the party line with me to let those things come through. So you keep sending them.
BJ, you know this cheap bastard bought his phone at a flea market. That's why it doesn't receive videos.
Oh, my goodness. My phone cussed me out for trying to send that twice to him, man.
That's funny. All right, Brian, have a good week, man. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right.